horses, off the time he comes. Let me just sing that chorus tonight. I think everybody knows it. It's quite easy to sing. I know it was the blood for me. I know it was the blood. Praise the Lord. And then Brother Terry was playing that other one also. And the blood shall never lose its power. Isn't that right? That's so true tonight. It's right that it'll never lose its power. And it's right that Brother Terry was playing. Thank the Lord today. Praise the Lord. The blood shall never lose its power. Thank the Lord. Let's sing it in an attitude of worship before Pastor Tommy comes tonight. And you know, it's good to worship the Lord. It's good to come into the house of the Lord and worship the Lord. You know, if you can't worship the Lord in the house of the Lord, where can you worship Him? I know you can have your own quiet time, but it's good to come together as a group of people to worship the Lord and enter in. Really, you get entered in. You know, we're singing, and all the singing is good, but sometimes we're singing just for to fill the space. Fill a space in the meeting. But it shouldn't just be to fill a space, it should be worship. Right from the word go, it should be from your heart. Should be worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you notice, whenever you worship the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, now the Spirit of the Lord is here. But when you worship the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord can fall on you, come on you. And when the Spirit of the Lord comes on you, then God can use you. There's a boy looking a slap. You know who needs a slap tonight? I got him. I don't see him, but he's disappeared. He's went down anyway. You know that you're the enemy of your soul is going to go down one day and he's never going to get up again. God's going to destroy him in the lake of fire. It's reserved unto judgment, isn't it? It's an appointment. Satan has got an appointment with death. And he's the author of it. He's the one that wants to give you. But thank God, He wants to give you life. Praise His holy name. Let's sing this. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Praise His holy name. It was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, He died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for. Sing that one. And the blood shall never lose its power. The blood shall never lose its power. Amen.
Shall never lose its power.
In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. And get the words for that, Brother Matthew, because I probably get them mixed up. It says, singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. In moments like these, I sing out a song. Sing out a love song to Jesus. Singing, I love you, Lord. There it is. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift
Praise the Lord. Let's just close our eyes for a moment this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence with worship and praise. We thank you, Lord, for the worship and praise tonight. Bless our Brother John and Brother Terry. Bless each one in this room this evening, from the youngest to the oldest. We pray for Brother Gary as he goes to preach tonight, to bless him and anoint him and use him. And we ask you for here, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts once again and move us. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost again to help me, Lord, and I thank you that you will. Pray you'll bless your word and strengthen your people tonight. You know the secret prayers that's been prayed. We pray you'll answer prayer, Lord. Pray you'll meet needs, Lord. We pray for any that's aside, sick or afflicted. May your hand be upon them. And for the backslidden tonight, Lord, speak to them, renew them and restore them and bring them back to your own self. And for any listening in, bless them, Lord, and meet their needs. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you this evening. You may be seated. Praise God. And we're going to turn to the Word of God tonight, till Ephesians. And I want to just speak for a few moments on an everlasting covenant. And I want to try and bring out how that God had everything planned. No matter what happened, for you and me, God had everything planned. He knows our end from the beginning. Sometimes we don't know what's going to happen, but the Lord knows, doesn't he? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 till 11 of Ephesians tonight. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 till 11. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he have abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, what he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The eternal purpose. The Lord bless his word tonight. And I'm going to look at many scriptures tonight. And I won't try and be too long. But this everlasting covenant is a covenant made in eternity. It was made in eternity before time began. In God's great counsel, way before time, it was made before the creation of man and before the entrance of sin and the human race come in. This God had prepared, and God's complete plan of creation and redemption, God had it all set out. It is the heavenly foundation covenant in its eternity. For all covenants revealed in time, this is the first one. And every one of them comes out of this one. Man was not party to it, but the object of it. So man had no plan in this. This was God's plan, but this was actually made in advance for man. God had a redemption plan in advance for man from eternity. And when time came, then he brought it out into being. Praise God. You know, the scriptures clearly teach that Jesus had an eternal purpose before time began. And we saw that in verse 11 here. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God slain before the very foundations of the world. God had a plan of salvation. Let me read you Romans 8, verse 27 to 30. Romans 8, 27 to 30. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to who are called according to his purpose. Now here's this word again, purpose. God has a purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So God predestinated you, and God predestinated me to be saved. Now, we can't say everyone that's predestinated, but God knows who they are. That's why the gospel must go out to all. But the Lord knows them that is his and that aren't going to come. God has a purpose that is determined long before anything was brought to pass. God had a purpose way before anything came into being that we can see. God had a purpose and God had a plan. Ephesians 1:9 says this: having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself. So God purposes in himself. God didn't sit down with somebody else and have a conversation and say, what do you think of this plan I have? God's plan was so superior that there's nothing else could come up to it. And God has a plan for your life so superior. No matter what anybody tells you, God has a plan and God has a purpose for your life. And he knows everything about us. And we mightn't be able to understand it, but the Bible can't be broken. It says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Hebrews 13 verse 20 says this: now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of an everlasting covenant. Everlasting. As tragic as the entrance of sin was in the human race, it should be recognized that God was not caught unawares. I want you to know that. God knew exactly what would happen, and God had a plan in place. The devil got in, and the devil tried to break God's plan and got into the human race, corrupted it. We know all them things, but God had already a plan in place. And even though the devil had a plan, God's plan was superior. And all that were lost in Christ Jesus are redeemed, all that were lost in the first fall can be redeemed back through Christ Jesus. Because the Bible tells us in Romans that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Because of this essential attributes, he foresaw the fall of man. God had all these attributes in him, and from this creative purpose, thus he set in motion the covenants of redemption to redeem man from sin. And them covenants started in eternity, was the first covenant, but it came right down, and you have the Adamic covenant. That's right before the, you know, right back to the days of Adam. And you know, we see the rainbow just the other day. I'm sure everybody saw the rainbow this last few days when it rains. That's a covenant as well God gave to his people. The New Testament actually becomes a covenant of redemption by which God restores man back to the original purpose in the Adamic covenant of creation. And you remember right at the beginning when man was in the garden, there was no sin. There was no sin. Man was in a wonderful place. He didn't age. Think of this, he didn't age. And only a prophet sent from God made this statement that I'm going to tell you. He said that production of mankind would have came forth by the spoken word. It wouldn't have came the way it comes now, but it would have been by the spoken word of God. Because the spoken word's the original seed. But the devil got in. He got in. And a hybrid crop came out of it. And we know that. Hybridism. Now the new covenant makes the Adamic covenant possible. However, it was the pre-existing everlasting covenant in heaven that made possible all the covenants of creation and redemption on this earth. And the everlasting covenant is unfolded in creation and redemption can only be realized because God's essential and moral attributes, that's what God had. God, there was things in God that had to be fulfilled. There's a healer in him. There's a savior in him. Amen. All them things were in God and they had to come out. He wanted to be a father, so he had children. All them things were in God way before the foundation of the world. Hebrews 13, 20 says this: now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So you see, this is an everlasting covenant. Now let me just give you this statement made from a message was preached called Adoption. And here's what it says. And he's referring to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. When God called his name Lord God, it's in the word Elohim, which means the self-existent one. The self-existent one. There was nothing else existed but him. Only him. There was no earth, there was no light, there was no stars. There was no world, there was nothing else. It was God, and God alone, Elohim now, and he made everything. But before he was even known as God, he was a self-existent one. But he had a plan then. God had a plan. Now I'm going to look at some of the things about God because of that. You see, this was made possible because of God's essential attributes. God has essential attributes. That is, he inhabits eternity. God inhabits eternity. Hence, he could make this plan, and he made this plan in eternity, what he had. But it was going to come forth down into time and down amongst mankind. And it was all made by God, but we're the benefactors of it. That was God's plan. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." God dwelleth in the high place. Genesis 21:23 says, "And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God." Amen. We're working with someone tonight that's Almighty God. Almighty Deuteronomy 33:27, "The eternal God is thy refuge." I love this verse. "And underneath the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them." And you know, this is prophetic to Israel as well. We can take it, but this is a prophetic word to Israel. Israel can't be beat. Now, I don't care what's happening in the world, and there's wars on every side tonight, and they're coming against Israel. But Israel's going to come out victorious because they're God's people. And God's a plan and purpose for them, and we are spiritual Israel. Because we're the royal seed of Abraham. We're his seed by faith. We believe. That's what makes us the seed. Psalms 41:13 says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting." Amen and amen. He's the Lord God of Israel. So when they fight against Israel, they're fighting against Almighty God. How can they fight against God? They can't. They're only man. God will always win. Psalms 90:2 says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." This is telling us he's from before anything. Psalms 93:2, "Thy throne is established of old, and thou art from everlasting." Here's another thought. God is omniscient. God is omniscient. This is what this mighty God we're talking about is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knew before the creation of man that a free will being, God made man a free will being to choose the tree of knowledge or the tree of good and evil. Because of his omniscience, he had purposed, God had already purposed to redeem man. He knew what man would do. He gave him a free will, and he knew what he would do. Adam took Eve with his eyes open, being a type of Christ. He knew what Eve done, and Adam willingly took Eve with his eyes open, and Jesus Christ takes me and you as sinners, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But he takes our place. And Adam took Eve, knowing what he'd done, but God had a plan. God had a plan. And that plan was to redeem all men who would come to his terms. Acts 15:17-18 says this, "That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom thy name is called, saith the Lord, who doth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." Omniscience includes wisdom, it includes knowledge, it includes understanding required to carry out covenantal purposes and plans, and God had all that. Who do you think it was that gave Moses the instructions? God did. God gave Moses the instructions. Who do you think showed them how to build the tabernacle in the wilderness? And you remember the menorah, the candlesticks, one beaten work. It's not one stick joined in and welded in another one. That's not how it's made. The Bible said it's one beaten work. And every single man that took part in that, and you read it and you study it, and I have for years, they were anointed to do the job. Not just anybody could do it. God chose men to do it. And God remains the same, like I said this morning. The anointing came on him to do the job. It's really important how God does things, and we don't try to go against it, but that we go with it. Because God has a plan. God's also omnipotent. He's also omnipotent. He is all-powerful because of this. His power can be operative both in creation and in redemption. That's God's power. God's power is operative in creation and in redemption. God said, Adam, I've nobody to help me. And the Lord caused him to sleep. And he took a rib from him and made him a woman. And then all the animals and all them things, God made them. And God's all powerful tonight. Now you remember this here. And I know it's hard for us to get it and think it. But we know over the ministries, over the years, we've seen where God's healed people from so many different things. But you think that a prophet of God said that he was in a little room and he met him in there and he said that the spoken word will come in such a way that limbs will be created on the people. Arms spoken onto the legs. I know it's hard for us to take that in, but when you think of Almighty God can do that because he's all powerful, God can do it. And God gives you the authority to speak. God can back it. That's the fact of it. And you know he did it in the disciples. He did it in his disciples. And he can do it again. And he's did it in men down through the centuries. And he can do it again. Because he's the same. He's unchanging. You see, this means God is supreme power and has no limitations of sovereignty over creation and creatures is evident. God has power and sovereignty over everything. The very winds had to obey him when he was here as a man in Jesus Christ. It's sovereignty over it. Understand what I'm saying tonight here, because the Lord Jesus has handed a boy's lunch and he fed a multitude. 5 false fishes and 2 loaves, and they took up 12 baskets in one place that remained, and they took up 7, which were the bigger baskets, in another place. And one group was Gentiles and one group was Jews, and the baskets testified us who they were. And the one group sat in grass and the other group sat in dry ground. 2 different miracles. But they took up what remained. So he multiplied it. Didn't he tell Peter to throw his net out again? And Peter was tired. Peter was weary. Peter was a fisherman. Now understand this, the importance of this. Peter knew how to fish. That's what I'm telling you. Peter wasn't wet behind the ears. Peter knew how to fish. Peter knew if there's fish, I'd get them. Peter knew how to get them. But Peter tried everything he knew as a fisherman. He didn't get them. But the Lord said to him, cast out again on the other side. And it almost sank the boat with the fish he took in. Because he's a great creator. And no matter how anything's going or how anything seems, God can come in on the scene at any moment. It's not that we tell him when to do it. He's sovereign. He can do it when we least think he's going to do it. You see, we've these ideas. I haven't lived as good for the Lord this week. There's no way I'll talk to him. That's the week he couldn't talk to you. Because it's nothing to do with our works and our programs. He does it. He's sovereign. God can pick a man that's living in the deepest depths of sin and just move on him. And speak to him and make him a mighty man of God. God does it because he's sovereign. Amen. Hebrews 12:14 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And look how God in the 20th century, and a man called William Branham, could stand that man, just a sinner, he said, saved by grace, but he could tell people where they came from and where they're going to. And God could show them visions, and God could tell them things about people. And they were absolutely astonished at it, just like Samuel in the Bible. That's how real God is. And God can do it again if he wants to do it, because he's the same. Amen. You see, when you say God can't do something again, you've changed him, but he doesn't change. Isaiah 40:23 says, that bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. There's another thing about God. God is omnipresent. He's omnipresent, God. He's everywhere present at all time. This term means that God is capable of being everywhere at the same time means you can't do that, but God can. Now, I know some people don't believe that, but that'll make no difference. God will do it anyhow. He's everywhere at the same time. You think of that. You got a wee fella praying in Africa tonight, in Australia, in New Zealand, over here in Northern Ireland, and anywhere at all, God can heal them all at the same time. He's everywhere. He can put the Holy Spirit down on somebody over here and over yonder all at the same time. That's why when you place the Holy Spirit in one individual man, you've got trouble in your hands, because you can't just put him in a box. He's everywhere. I'll tell you, we're going to see how far he is. He's far and he's wide and he's big and he's broad. Amen. It means his divine presence encompasses the whole of the universe. No person can hide from his presence and convicting power of the Holy Spirit when he decides to move. Psalms 139, verse 7 to 12. Let me read you. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the other parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. And you know the children of Israel, God led them by light in the dark. Think of what I'm saying here. The pillar of fire led them by night and the cloud by day, so they had light in the dark. And the light to them was darkness to the enemy. That's the Bible. And you can read that in the Bible. And the light that led them was darkness to their enemies. And you think of it, how could they travel in the night? But God made the light, the night day for them, but they did want them to travel, because the pillar of fire lightened up the way. And God can take us in any way he wants to take us, and he'll make a way. Hallelujah. God's able to do it. Here's another thing about God. He's immutable. He's unchanging. Unchanging. He's immutable. As does nature, being, character, covenant, purposes. Malachi 3 and 6 says, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. So when people start to tell you God doesn't do this, and God doesn't do this and this, you know that's a lie. God's immutable. He's unchanging. When you read that 7 church age book, there's a phrase in there that says the greatest revelation of all revelations is that God never changes his mind about his word. You're saved the same way the day that you were saved when it was first written in the book of Acts. You call on the name of the Lord and you're saved. It can't change. God's word can't be changed. Hebrews 13:8, we all know it so well, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now I'm almost finished. I told you it wouldn't be long tonight. God is self-existent. We're not. We need him. God is not depending on us to live or someone else. He's self-existent. But we're depending on him. He holds the breath we breathe. We're depending on the Lord. He's self-existent. We're working with a self-existent one tonight. Do you realize the devil's not self-existent? The devil's not omnipresent. The devil's none of these things that God is. The devil's limited because God made him. He made him. And he's a tool in the hand of God. And as our brother John said, it's time's coming up when it's going to be finished. And God's going to deal with him. You see, he exists in himself. And his independence of he's independent of time, of space, of all creation. He is the life source and can act out of his eternal life source according to give life on any occasion he wants. That's God. Almighty God. God can give life to a dying man if he purposes to do it. God can take a man or a woman that's absolutely dead in sin that nobody would give a chance till God can save them, deliver them, and raise them up just in a moment. God is able to do it. Amen. That's God, what God can do. It's all down to him, and we praise him tonight. Let me read you these few verses. Then we're going to close. John 1 verse 1 to 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So he made everything. Then you could go on to another part of the Bible, and here's what you could read. You were made by him and for him. You were made by him and for him. And God's a purpose for you. And God's a plan for you. And anything else the devil says is a lie. Oh, I tell you, isn't he wonderful? He surely is, John 3:16, isn't he? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If it were not for these essential attributes of God, no covenant could have been made in eternity, then come into time. But it was all in him. It was all in him. And certainly none could have been made to fulfill, to fulfillment in time. But God done it. God done it. And you think of even Cain and Abel. You see God's plan right there in Abel. Cain brings the works of his hand, but Abel brings a bloody lamb. And God required blood. We were singing about, blood. And God accepted Abel's offering. But he didn't accept Cain. He said, you've offered well, but it's no good. But Abel brought the right thing. And there's only one way for men and women today, and that's the cross. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the only way. It remains the same. It can't be changed. There's no other gospel can bring a different message. There's no prophet can come and say, I have a different way you can come now. It has to be the same way it always was. That's why the Bible says, return on to the old paths. Return on to the old paths. Like a brother Laurie preached the other week. What you've bought, don't let nobody steal it. Keep what you've got. Keep the word of God you've got. Keep it near and dear to you, what you've got. And the Lord's coming again. Let's stand our feet tonight. Then a brother John's going to come. And I just want to pray and lead us as we close this evening. Praise God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Praise God. If you need prayer tonight, lift your hand high to the Lord. And every head bowed in this room, praise God. God bless you. God bless you. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, you know everything. Lord, even the young man that's applied for a job, Father, I pray you'll bless him. Give him a real good job. Prosper him. Use him. Give him great favor. I pray it in Jesus' name. Lord, for others, for their hands raised, for needs tonight. Lord God, I pray you'll meet every need. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you know the very secrets of every one of our hearts. We mightn't know how to tell anybody, but you know everything about it. And we're coming to you because you're touched by the feeling of our infirmities. You're all points tempted and tried as we are, yet without sin. You knew no sin and you had no sin. And you're our advocate tonight. You're a Des man, you're a go-between. You took our place, you stood in our room in our stead. I'm going to love you tonight with all of our heart. Lord, when we were down deep and far away, you came and you sought us and you bought us. And we're bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ tonight. We're no longer our own. Redeemed, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. Father, Master, you'll meet every need. Miracles is needed in people. Healings is needed in people. Hallelujah. Oh, God, confirm your word, I pray, with signs and wonders and divers miracles in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Touch people tonight in this room from the crown of their head to the very soles of their feet. And may you have your way, I pray, and bless your people tonight as we bless your name. Father, we pray for Israel tonight. We pray for the host of heaven to be behind them, in front of them, to the left of them, to the right of them. The mighty angels of heaven, a mighty host. In Jesus' precious name, bless your people, we pray. In Jesus' precious name tonight, Father, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you. As a brother John Paul.
Thank you. who hasn't worked out before, talking. There is our Redeemer. Do you know that one, Brother Terry? There is our Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. I can't sing it anyway, Terry. You can maybe join in with us, Terry. We can't sing this here and then. If we can't do it too well, we'll maybe sing a hymn anyway. Praise the Lord. Amen. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, for sinners saved. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in I will see His face, and there I'll serve my King forever. Amen.